So last week was Easter. That's kind of cool. It is the time of the year that really defines us as Christians, that we can say Jesus has been raised from the dead. What we thought was a failure is the opposite. It's actually a victory. And as we've been going through the story, this series over 31 weeks, where we are going through God's plan in the Bible to redeem his creation back to himself. Easter, the resurrection, that could be like a good end point. It's like a good resolution. The end of the Old Testament wasn't a good resolution. People were still in this cycle to sin. But after the resurrection, we feel like, okay, like it's good. It's getting resolved. It's not a bad ending. It's not a cliffhanger. The credits could roll, we could all go home, and the story could be done. We'd probably be fairly satisfied with that ending. But that's not what happens with the story. The story continues even after Jesus is resurrected, even after Jesus ascends from the earth into heaven and is no longer present on earth. We are really good at celebrating the resurrection. We're really good at celebrating the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ because it's what defines us as God's people. It's the big moment that we've come across in the story so far. But I want to suggest that the cross and the resurrection isn't even the end point. It's not even the climax of the story. It is setting the stage for the ultimate work that God wants to do. It's the significant point, but it's not the end point. The story is continuing. If you're reading your storybook this week, the chapter we're on, chapter 28, is called New Beginnings because it is just that. The story doesn't end after Jesus is resurrected. In fact, it's just really starting to begin. After Jesus was raised, in 1 Corinthians, we're told that he showed himself to over 500 people who were able to confirm that Jesus was resurrected physically from the dead. In fact, when Paul was writing it, he was saying to the Corinthians, some of these guys are still alive. You should go talk to them. It's an amazing story what they've seen. And in the book of Acts, especially the first chapter, we see Jesus interacting with his disciples, with his followers, after he's risen from the dead. This is what Acts in the first couple verses says. I'm picking up in verse 3 here. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them, his disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, Jesus was hanging around after he was raised from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, and we're told he was hanging out with his disciples, his early followers, and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. Now, if you've read the Gospels, you've heard this phrase, the kingdom of God, before. We read that it is actually the primary thing that Jesus was teaching about during his ministry. But when I look back on my own Christian life and, you know, growing up in Sunday school and Awana and then youth group and then going off to Bible college and whatnot, for most of that time, it was probably not until halfway through my 4 years at Bible college that I really felt like I was taught what the kingdom of God is. If this is Jesus' primary teaching, why is it that it's so absent from a lot of our conversations? We talk a lot about Jesus' life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, but what about this kingdom of God that Jesus is teaching about all the time? If it's his primary teaching, why didn't I know what it was until halfway through Bible college? Here's where we're going to go this morning. We're going to talk a bit about the kingdom of God and how that is revealed as the story continues after Jesus' resurrection. So I have a very simple definition this morning of what the kingdom of God is so that we can all hopefully get on the same page. Here's where I'm going. The kingdom of God is where God is personally present and things are done his way. Where God is personally present and things are done his way. If you are like me, growing up, my idea was that the kingdom of God was heaven. And that when I die, I go to the kingdom of God. And all the time, Jesus, while he was preaching on earth, he was just talking about heaven. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, they talk about the kingdom of heaven. And that idea is not totally wrong. It's just incomplete. Because if you think about heaven, God is personally present. He is sitting on the throne, reigning in majesty, and things are done his way. We even pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So yes, we see a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like when we talk about some of the ideas we have of heaven. But that is just a sliver of what it means when we talk about the kingdom of God. And throughout Scripture, we see glimpses of what the kingdom of God looks like. In fact, if we're starting, we might as well start all the way in the beginning in Genesis. This is where I stand when I talk about Genesis 1 and 2. Because it's way in the beginning. It's before the fall. It's before sin and decay comes and corrupts God's good creation. But when we read Genesis 1 and 2, we read that in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve. He was there with them. He was personally present. And before Adam and Eve disobeyed and ate of the fruit, and sin entered in the world, things were done God's way. And do you know what we read about the Garden of Eden? Is that life was able to flourish. That is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. When God is present and things are done his way, we flourish. But unfortunately, Adam and Eve did eat of the fruit, and so sin and decay came and corrupted God's good creation. And so this idea of the kingdom of God is alienated from us. God is no longer personally present where there's sin. And because we are subject to the sin in our hearts, things aren't done his way. But the next big glimpse we get of the kingdom of God in Scripture is in Christ. The incarnation, God coming in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Where God is personally present among his people. And as he teaches and is working things out, as he was perfectly sinless in his own life, things were being done God's way. And we see in Jesus' life, as he was healing the sick, as he was casting out the demons, as he was teaching about a kingdom of God kind of life, we see God's reign breaking in. We see God's reign over sin and disease. We see God's reign over the power of Satan, the enemy. We see these glimpses, this presence of the kingdom of God. In fact, in Mark's gospel, the very first words that Jesus says is, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom has come near. Repent and do things God's way. And when confronted about the kingdom of God by the Pharisees, who were expecting it to be kind of a nationalistic kingdom, this is what Jesus says to them in Luke 17. He says, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Emmanuel, God with us, God being personally present with us, was the kingdom of God on earth. Things being done his way. The next glimpse we see in Scripture of the kingdom of God is at the very end. In Revelation 21, we get this picture of the new heavens and the new earth, God's new creation, where God comes and lives with his people and sin is done away with. This is what John writes in Revelation 21. He says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God being personally present. And he will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, things being done God's way. And in this passage in Revelation 21, we get this picture of the perfect kingdom of God, where God is fully here, where things are fully done his way. And we have this promise that one day God's kingdom will be fully here on earth in this new heavens and new earth. We look forward to that hope. But we need to look at these words that Jesus says, where he says the kingdom of God is in our midst right now. That the kingdom of God is near. And in this kingdom we flourish. Jesus coming to earth brought the kingdom of God in a way that shows us a picture of what is to come, where God is present with us and things are done his way and are working towards that end game. We see this terminology that theologians use throughout the ages, that the kingdom of God is already here because of Christ, but not yet fully here. We call it the already not yet kingdom. And as Jesus was talking to his disciples in the book of Acts, as he's telling them about the kingdom of God, he teaches them about these necessary ingredients of living in the kingdom of God here and now, to be a part of the kingdom in their midst. Let's keep reading in Acts. This is verses 4 and 5. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jump down to verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus lays out some clear instructions. Hang out in Jerusalem, wait till the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit will come in power and will make you my witnesses. And then it happens. Just a few days later, Jesus' disciples are all gathered in Jerusalem, like Jesus said, for the festival of Pentecost, which was a celebration of when God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel at Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. A time where they celebrated the nation of Israel becoming God's people, in a way. But on this Pentecost, as the disciples were gathering together and praying, something monumental happened. Something just as big as the Ten Commandments coming in Exodus. The Holy Spirit comes down like a whirlwind, we're told. And there were these flames that appeared over people's heads. And as the Spirit came and filled Jesus' disciples, they began to speak in languages they didn't understand. They began declaring these things of God in words they didn't know, but people from all over the world at the time, good, faithful Jews, came to Jerusalem for this festival. And all of a sudden, as they were walking past this house, they start hearing in their own language the wonders of what God was doing. Some of them, skeptical, thought that these guys were just partying it up, getting drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, but that wasn't the case. Peter stands up, now filled with the Spirit of God, and he addresses those who were confused and onlooking. He says, we're not drunk. This is what's going on. God prophesied this. He promised this through the prophet Joel, that one day the Spirit of God would come, that he would make a new people, that he would create a people who are empowered by the Spirit, who are meant to live this kingdom life together. And so he invites them, repent, be baptized, believe in the risen Christ, and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. And we see the first major church growth movement where 3,000 people that day were added to the church. two things from this story in Acts that is important for us to get if we are seeking to live out this kingdom life together. We need to be people filled with the Spirit of God to live the kingdom life. And as we continue to read, we'll see that the kingdom life is meant to be lived out in Christian community. These are the two key ingredients. You and I, if you are a follower of Christ, if you have chosen to follow him, you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. We need the Spirit in us in order to be able to live. Because this is now the personal presence of God among us. Though Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came. God personally present. The Holy Spirit empowers those who believe with gifts. In this story, he was able to empower the disciples to speak in languages they didn't understand so that the message of the resurrection could spread. Each one of us filled with the Holy Spirit has gifts that God has given us. Maybe you can speak in languages you don't understand. Maybe you're someone who the Spirit has gifted with gifts of leadership or administration, or you're someone that the Holy Spirit has gifted with a knack for hospitality. Maybe the Spirit does this thing in you where he reveals things to you that you wouldn't otherwise know. The Spirit comes into us and he gives us gifts for the mission that he's empowered us for. And also, the Spirit comes into us and he empowers us to follow Christ. He gives us what we need to live God's way. We see this necessary ingredient for the kingdom of God, God personally present by his Spirit, and then helping us, working in our hearts so that we can learn to live God's way. And as we do that, we'll flourish. The second thing that's important for us to pick up is that the Spirit, as he fills the disciples, he creates a new community. This becomes the people of God, the kingdom community. Today we call it the church. You and I here today in Cornerstone Montague, we're just one expression of this kingdom community filled by the Spirit, brought together in community. And as we continue to read in Acts 2, we see that these disciples, after being filled by the Spirit, they got together. They gathered regularly. They would learn from the apostles. They would pray with one another. They would worship. They would commit to helping out one another from their own resources. They were a community of people committed to living in light of the kingdom of God together. This is what the Holy Spirit does when he fills people. He brings them into community. And community is the arena where kingdom transformation takes place. If we want to be about kingdom of God life, where we experience God's presence and learn to live God's way, that happens not on our own, but together. That is why it's so important for us to be part of a church community. That is why we get together like we do this morning. That's why we do small groups and pray with one another and spend time together, because it's in this crucible of community that we're transformed by the Spirit. And as the story continues through Acts, we learn something else about this community, this new people of God, the church. It's not just a Jewish thing anymore. Throughout the whole story so far, God's chosen people have been the nation of Israel, the literal descendants of Abraham. God, continuing the story after the resurrection, switches things up a bit. The Holy Spirit begins to fill people that have no Jewish heritage. We start to see this as Peter has this vision of unclean animals that he was never able to eat before because of the law. And God says, go, eat them. And as soon as that happens, these guys knock on the door of the house where he was staying, these Gentile messengers from a man named Cornelius, a Gentile who wanted to hear the news of the resurrection. And so Peter goes, and as he preaches to Cornelius and his friends and family, they believe, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills them, just like he filled the disciples in Acts 2. And so who could deny that the Holy Spirit was at work making a community not just of faithful Jewish believers, but of Gentiles, of those who weren't part of the community to begin with? It went from being an ethnic group to just a collection of misfits filled with the Spirit of God. Look at us this morning. We're a collection of misfits filled with the Spirit of God. Am I right? God's community of people isn't just one kind of people. It isn't just people with one kind of background. It's those who have responded to the risen Christ, have been filled by the Spirit, and are welcomed into community. This is what we're doing here this morning. This is what we are called to be as the 21st century expression of this kingdom community. We're trying to live this kingdom life together, where God is present among us, and we learn together to do things God's way. And as we do, we'll flourish. You know, it's difficult to do things God's way. We're not perfect at it. As a church family, we're not perfect at growing together in community. We're working on it. But we have room to grow as a community. We have a room to grow as small groups. We have room to grow together. But here's the beautiful thing. As we all come together, we all bring our own baggage and mess and sin. As we work through this together, as we seek to live this kingdom life empowered by the Holy Spirit, we'll come with our mess, but we won't leave with our mess. We're invited, whatever we've been through, whatever we're dealing with, to come into the community, but don't count on staying the same. God plans to change you in community. God plans to take your heart from what it was, affected by sin and the fall and by the presence of God and learning to do things God's way, to transform it. Communities where that happens. And that we will leave on the other side different people than we came in. So the question for us this morning, as we are working through what this kingdom life means, what it means to be filled by the Spirit, what it means to live in community and seeking to do things God's way, the question for all of us is, do we want to be part of it? Do we want to be part of the kingdom of God in our midst? If your answer is yes, then the first step is to choose Jesus. The first step is to say, yes, I want to follow the resurrected Christ. I want to make him my king. If your answer is yes, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to be at work in you. If you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is already inside you, but I think each of us could grow in our awareness of the Spirit of God at work in our life. So maybe we can pray together to experience the work of the Spirit, to be aware of what the Spirit is doing and leading us to in each and every moment, that we would be filled with the presence of God, that he would work in us and empower us to live God's way, that he would show us the gifts that he's given each one of us for the work that he's called us to as part of his kingdom. The second question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to play this out in community? Or are we going to go the lone wolf route? And I guarantee you, we will experience more kingdom change in our lives. We'll experience more of the presence of God and more transformation as we learn to do things God's way when we do it in community. I even think of my own time growing up. It was in those moments in youth group where I was able to get together with Christian friends and talk through what we're wrestling with, that we experience transformation of God. It's not just lone wolfing it, trying to do it on our own. It's in small group when we wrestle through our questions that we have and we feel like we can be open and vulnerable and work through what we're struggling with other people, that we experience that change, that we grow together as a community. We don't need to clean ourselves up to come in, but we'll leave different. So let's work at this kingdom life together. Let's grow as a church and get better at this. Let's look forward to the fully inaugurated kingdom of God that is to come. But let's participate in it in our midst today by the power of the Spirit, by seeking and learning together to do things God's way. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we're not just left here on our own to try to figure things out on our own devices, but that by your Holy Spirit, your presence with us, we can experience your kingdom here and now. As we seek to make you the ruler of our hearts, you'll work in us. As we submit to your leading, you will bring us into community, and in the midst of this community, we'll grow together. That's what we're called to do and be. So Spirit, fill us. Make us a kingdom community that as we're devoted to the apostles' teaching, as we pray together, as we seek to give and to meet one another's needs, work in us. Change us. May we be a 21st expression of the kingdom of God here and now. In Christ's name we pray.